Let's turn again to the Psalm number 27. The Psalm number 27. And I want to draw your attention to the verses 8 and 9. The verses 8 and 9 of Psalm 27. And here the psalmist says in Psalm 27, the verses 8 and 9, "When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation." Let's just take a moment to seek the Lord in prayer. And let us ask that the Lord would come and speak to our hearts tonight, as He does see the need of each heart, even before Him tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee tonight for Thy Word. We thank Thee that Thy Word is truth. And we thank Thee that we are reminded even in these verses that we can seek Thy face. That for those tonight that are out of Christ, we know that they're called to seek Thee while Thou art to be found. And to call upon Thee while Thou art near. And we thank Thee too as Thy people, that we can seek Thy face even now in prayer. And we ask that by Thy Spirit tonight Thou wouldst come, that Thou wouldst speak to every heart, that Thou wouldst speak through Thy Word tonight. Speak with that voice that awakens those that are dead in trespasses and in sins. Speak even to the heart tonight, though beyond what the preacher can accomplish. And we pray that Thou wouldst take Thy Word, and that Thou will apply it to each heart as Thou dost see the need. And so, dear Father, I pray that Thou wilt fill me afresh with Thy Holy Spirit. That Thou wilt speak through me tonight, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The Word of God teaches us that God is a Spirit, and therefore God is invisible to the human eye. When the Apostle Paul was writing to Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and the verse 17, he penned these words, "Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." God is invisible because God is a Spirit. And yet, of course, when God sent His Son into this world as the God-man, as the Savior of sinners, God the Son came as God manifest in the flesh. He came in that body that was prepared for Him. And of course, as He walked upon this scene of time, those around could see Him and look upon Him as they would look upon one another. And of course, therefore, Paul reminds us in his letter to the Colossians that the Lord Jesus is the image of the invisible God. When we read through the Old Testament scriptures and read of those occasions when God appeared to man before the Lord Jesus came into this world as the God-man to be the Savior, of course, all of those appearances were appearances of the Lord Jesus, the second person of the Trinity. Whether it was the captain of the host who appeared to Joshua, whether it was one of those three visitors who came to Abraham, they were all appearances of the second person of the Trinity. But of course, as we read through, first of all, the Old Testament, conscious that God is a Spirit and therefore invisible to the human eye, yet God is described to us as if He had those bodily parts, that we might understand who He is and what He does. For example, we read many times about the hand of God. And when we read about the hand of God, we are being taught about the almighty power of God. In one of the Psalms, Psalm 89, in the verse 13, the psalmist addressed the Lord with these words, "Thou hast a mighty arm. Strong is thy hand." Strong is thy hand. And of course he was reminding the Lord there of his almighty power. God has almighty power. We read in other places in the scripture about the eyes of the Lord, reminding us that God is the all-seeing one. There is nothing that can be hidden from him. Again, one of the Psalms, Psalm 66 in the verse 7, it says of God, his eyes behold the nations. Nothing or no one can be hidden from God. And as we have read from this particular Psalm tonight, the Psalm 27 and the verses 8 and 9, it is the face of God that is brought to our attention. Not this time the arm of God or the eyes of God or even the mouth of God as we read of his word in other parts of the scripture. But here in verses 8 and 9 it is the face of God that is brought to our attention. And of course when we think of the face of God we're thinking about the presence of God. In life when you look upon the face of a person, often the face of a person will tell you something about them. Maybe a face that shows anger towards you. Or on the other hand, a face that demonstrates the happiness of that person. There are many things you can tell from the face of a person. And therefore, when we come here to Psalm 27 and these verses 8 and 9, and of course other references to the face of God in the scripture, the face of God is teaching us something about God. Something about his presence. And I want us for a few moments tonight to think about the face of God. I want us first of all to think about the hidden face of God. Because here the psalmist David in Psalm 27 and the verse 9, as he calls out to the Lord in prayer, this is his request. Verse 9 of Psalm 27. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. And we see here the desire of the psalmist that God would not hide his face from him. And we see the connection between God hiding his face from an individual. It is associated with God's anger. The psalmist says, hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. The psalmist had a desire not to be in such a condition before God that God would be angry with him. That God would hide his face from him. You see, the hiding of God's face, as one commentator put it, is God, as it were, turning away from an individual with displeasure as if he cannot look upon the one who has offended him. We might think in life even of turning our face away from someone or something which is cruel or revolting and we cannot, as it were, look upon it. Does not this teach us tonight that if we remain as unrepentant sinners, if we remain as unbelieving sinners, that in this sense God's face will be hidden from us not only in time, but for all eternity. We're left in no doubt from the scripture that God is displeased with sin. That God cannot look upon sin with any favor. that sin separates between us and a holy God. I want you for a moment to turn back to the book of Genesis. Because in Genesis chapter 4, we have mention made of an individual being hidden from the face of God, or God's face being hidden from the individual. And it is Cain, one of the sons of Adam and Eve. And you'll remember in Genesis chapter 4 how Abel and Cain, the two sons of Adam and Eve, how they came to present themselves before the Lord. And you will read there in Genesis chapter 4 in the verse 3 of how Cain, he brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. He brought the works of his own hands unto the Lord. While his brother Abel, in verse 4, he brought of the firstlings of the flock. He brought the lamb. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, because his offering was what God commanded. His offering was the lamb. The blood had been shed. The sacrifice was made, pointing forward, of course, to the coming Savior. Through him, we can find acceptance with God. But Cain, as we have said, he came with the works of his hands. And we read in verse 5 that God did not have respect to Cain and to his offering. And Cain was angry. And of course he ended up murdering his own brother Abel. And when God came to speak to him in verse 11 of Genesis 4, God said, "And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thine hand." And in verse 13, Cain had to say, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." But I want you to look at verse 14. Because in verse 14 of Genesis chapter 4, this is what Cain said to the Lord. "Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid." From thy face shall I be hid. What a solemn realization for this man, Cain, that from God's face he would be hid for all eternity. He would be separated from God for all eternity because he was an unrepentant sinner. My friend, tonight, if you are unsaved, out of Christ, and if you continue to go through this life unsaved and out of Christ, rejecting God's salvation, rejecting Christ as Savior, God's word makes it clear that you will be separated from him for all eternity in the lake of fire. And that is what it is to have God's face hidden from you for all eternity. There's a verse in Isaiah 59, it's the verse 2. And it's a verse which again demonstrates that it is our sins that separate between us and God, and hides God's face from us. Listen to the words of Isaiah 59 and verse 2. God says, Isaiah the prophet says, as God directs him, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." It is sin that separates between you and God. It is sin that causes God to hide his face from you. If you turn back from the Psalm just to the book of Job for a moment, in Job 13, in the verse 24, Job was speaking, and of course we know Job was a child of God. But in the midst of his terrible trials, he felt that God had hidden his face from him. He felt that God was treating him as an enemy. And in Job 13, in the verse 24, this is what Job said to the Lord. Wherefore hidest thou thy face and holdest me for thine enemy? In other words, Job associated God's hidden face with God treating an individual as his enemy. Now, of course, Job was not God's enemy. He was God's child. But this is how he felt. And my friend, the reality is that if you're not saved, God does hide his face from you because you're his enemy. The carnal mind is enmity against God. And therefore we can understand why the psalmist now in Psalm 27 and verse 9 would pray to the Lord, hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. What a terrible thing to have God's face hidden from us. And the question is tonight, is God's face hidden from you? And if you're not saved tonight, God's face is hidden from you in that sense. Your sin separates between you and God. You do not have fellowship with God. You do not have a relationship with God. And you are in danger tonight of being separated from God and having his face hidden from you for all eternity. Realize tonight the terrible condition your soul is in if you're out of Christ. But thank God, of course, tonight for the hope of the gospel. Because I want you to come back here to Psalm 27 and see that not only does the psalmist speak about the hidden face of God, but he then goes on to speak in the second place about seeking the face of God. If we look at the verse 8 of the Psalm 27, the psalmist addressing the Lord, he says, when thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I see. Here is the same psalmist who prayed, hide not thy face far from me. And he's saying to the Lord, when thou didst say, seek ye my face, my heart, my innermost being, responded by saying, thy face, Lord, will I seek. God commands us to seek his face. God commands us to seek his presence. That's why the psalmist was calling upon the Lord. And when we again tonight consider ourselves what we are by nature, we're sinners, with God's face hidden from us. And if you're not saved tonight, if you're unconverted, that's your condition at this moment. Still an enemy of God. Still separated from God by your sin. Yet God in his word would command you to seek his face. To seek his presence. To seek to come into a right relationship with him. What does seeking God's face mean? How can we seek the face of God? If you turn for a moment to 2 Chronicles 7 and the verse 14. 2 Chronicles 7. And the verse 14, it is a verse, of course, which applies to God's people. And yet at the same time, there's an application for you tonight, if you're not saved, as to how you can seek God's face. How you can seek to know God personally and savingly. How that separation between you and God can be removed. Look at 2 Chronicles 7 for a moment and the verse 14. And here we read, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. And as we've said, it's talking here about God's people, but there's an application for you if you're not saved. And seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin. You see, if you're not saved, this is what you need tonight, your sins to be forgiven. Your sins to be washed away by the merit of the precious blood. And if you will seek God's face sincerely tonight, if you will seek God while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near, and turn from your sin, and seek him for pardon, you can be forgiven tonight. You can know what it is for God's face no longer to be hidden from you. Think of what it says here. As I said, it's talking about God's people, but let me apply it to you if you're not saved. God talks there about humbling themselves. And if you're not saved tonight, you need to humble yourself before God. You need to acknowledge your sin before God. You need to acknowledge that you cannot make yourself right with God by your efforts or by your works. You must humble yourself before God and acknowledge your need of God. Acknowledge your need of Christ. Your need of salvation. God says there, through his servant there in 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. And if you're not saved tonight, you need to humble yourself and you need to pray to the Lord. Call on him for salvation. Call on him for forgiveness. Ask him to forgive you because of what Christ has done by his life and by his cross work. Because that is how God is able to forgive your sins tonight. Yes, God demands perfection and you are so imperfect. But God sent his Son into this world as the perfect man to live that sinless life on behalf of all who would turn from sin and trust him. And of course, God demands punishment for your sin. But he sent his Son to go to the cross as the sin bearer, as the substitute, as the sacrifice for sinners. And there on that cross, he suffered in his very soul the wrath of God. He shed his blood. He laid down his life. And he took it up again. And if you will, again, as 2 Chronicles 7 and 14 says, turn from your wicked ways. If you will humble yourself before God, if you will call on him for salvation, he will hear from heaven and he will forgive your sin. Seek his face tonight. Of course, if you're a child of God and you've wandered away, you need to come the same pathway and humble yourself and pray and seek the Lord's face and turn from your wicked ways, and God will hear from heaven and he will forgive your sin. You see the psalmist, again there in Psalm 27 in those verses 8 and 9. He spoke, yes, about the hidden face of God. He didn't want God's face to be hidden from him. But he talked about seeking God's face. Obeying the command of God. And if you're not saved tonight, God commands all men everywhere to repent. Boy or girl, young person, older person. God commands you to repent of your sin, to seek his face for mercy. And the Lord Jesus has said, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Isaiah, as we have mentioned, Isaiah 55, 6 and 7, it says there, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked man forsake. Forsake his wicked way. Let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy. He will abundantly pardon. The solemn reality is that if you will not seek God's face, If you will not seek Him for salvation, that on the judgment day you will desire to be hidden from the face of Him that sits upon the throne. In Revelation chapter 6, at the very end of that chapter, we read of how on that day when the heaven will depart as a scroll, when every mountain and island will be moved out of their places, that the very kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, the mighty men, the bought men, the free men, those all who have not turned from sin and trusted Christ as Savior, they will hide themselves in the dens. And in the rocks of the mountains, they will say to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. What a terrible thing to be in that condition on that day, to want to be hid from that one who came to be the Savior. Because on that day He will be coming again as the judge. And if you have rejected Him in life, if you have rejected His salvation, you will desire on that day to be hidden from His face. Oh, seek His face tonight, when there's still mercy and still grace. And it brings us to a final thought about the face of God. Because not only does the Scripture speak about the hidden face of God, and then about seeking God's face, but the Scripture speaks about the shining face of God. Now the psalmist in Psalm 27 and the verses 8 and 9, when he was addressing God, and when he was saying to the Lord, when thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. And when he went on to say, hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger, he goes on to say, thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. And of course the psalmist therefore was addressing God as the one from whom he had received salvation. And in the Scripture it is the shining face of God that is connected with God's favor and God's salvation. If you turn back for a moment to the book of Numbers, in Numbers chapter 6, we have very familiar words. The words which the Lord directed Moses to speak unto Aaron and to his sons concerning how they would bless the people of Israel. Numbers chapter 6 and the verse 22. Numbers chapter 6, the verse 22. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them. And if we stop there for a moment, of course, we remind ourselves that the greatest blessing that any of us as sinners can experience is the blessing of salvation. We read in verse 24, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. And then verse 25 says, the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And you see there the connection between the Lord's face shining upon us and the Lord being gracious unto us. And that's the only way we can receive salvation, by God's grace. It's not something we deserve. It's not something we can earn. It's something that we must receive by God's grace. God giving us what we do not deserve. It is by grace that we're saved through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. It's not our church attendance. It's not our reading the Scripture. It's not our paying into the church any of these things. It's by grace that we're saved through faith. And when God is gracious unto us, God makes His face to shine upon us. Verse 26 of that 6th chapter of Numbers goes on, "The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee." That countenance of His shining face, "and give thee peace." Peace with God through the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus made peace through the blood of His cross. And it's only by trusting Him, what He accomplished on the cross, that we can have peace with God and have our sins forgiven. Now, as we finish tonight, I want you to come back to the Psalms. There's a number of prayers we might say in the Psalms, where the psalmist again asked the Lord to cause His face to shine upon him, and each of those references is connected with salvation and mercy and finding acceptance with God. Look for a moment at Psalm 31 and the verse 16. And there in Psalm 31 in the verse 16, the psalmist says this, "Make thy face to shine upon thy servants. Save me for thy mercy's sake." And that's what you need if you're not saved, to cry out to the Lord, "Save me for thy mercy's sake." And that will be God's face shining upon me, no longer being hidden from you. Then look for a moment at Psalm 67 in the verse 1. Psalm 67 in verse 1. And here the psalmist says, "God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us." And again you see how God's mercy and God's blessing is connected with His face shining upon us. And that's what you need tonight if you're not saved, the blessing of His salvation, God's mercy, to be shown to you. And then finally in Psalm 80. In Psalm 80 there are three references to, again, God's face being caused to shine. And the first one is in the verse 3 of Psalm 80. "Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved." And if you're not saved tonight, you need to be turned from your sin and turned to the Lord, that His face might shine upon you and that you might be saved. You know, on that occasion, when the Lord Jesus took Peter and James and John up into the mount, and He was transfigured before them, and they saw something of His glory, we're told that the face of the Lord Jesus shone. You see, when He was upon earth as the God-man, He had laid aside His glory. He looked like any other man. But on that occasion, they saw something of His glory, His shining face. And they heard the voice of God the Father from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." My friend, tonight, if you're not saved, you need to hear the Lord Jesus tonight. And you hear Him through this word. And you hear Him saying as He walked upon this scene of time, "Repent ye and believe the gospel." You hear Him saying, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And you need to hear and heed tonight. You need to come to Him. You need to repent of your sin. You need to receive Him as your Savior. Otherwise, God's face will be hidden from you for all eternity. As we said earlier on the judgment day, you will desire that the face of the Saviour will be hidden from you. That you'll be hidden from the wrath of the Lamb, but it will be too late to be hidden from the wrath of the Lamb. Come and seek the Lord's face tonight. Seek Him while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near.